Hi, as Daryl said, I'm Linda, and I'm reading today from the book of Haggai, chapter 1, verses 2 to 13. This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say, the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages, only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build my house, so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why? Declares the Lord Almighty. Because of my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with your own house. Therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew and the earth its crops. I called for a drought on the fields and the mountains, on the grain, the new wine, the olive oil, and everything else the ground produces, on people and livestock, and on all the labor of your hands. Then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the whole remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the message of the prophet Haggai.
A while ago, we had a bit of an issue when it came to COVID. How do we do programs for our kids? So we said we want to do something, and we want to do it well, and we want to add as we can. So we started our Book Kids programs in a different shape and form. We had 1 week for teens, next week for primary, this week is infants. Now, we have some very exciting news. Next week, we're going to have Brook Kids Creche. I don't know what else to call it. Brook Kids Creche. You try saying that 10 times fast. It is quite hard. But we have this opportunity for parents with young children to be able to come to church. There'll be some people who have already put up their hand and said, hey, I want to help look after these little kids. And for the parents to be able to come and participate in worship. So we're excited about that. As you can tell, I'm a little bit excited. I'm talking a bit too quickly. But next week, Brook Kids Creche is starting. So pay attention to your emails. Make sure you email Sonia and be there if you have young children. The next thing we're going to talk about is our AGM. Everyone loves a good AGM, right? I'm assuming everyone at home is cheering really loudly. As a church, we need to have our meeting of this caliber. It's an important time for us as a church. We get to reflect on the year that was and what 2021 might look like. Now, with our current time, these unprecedented times, we have to have it look a little bit differently. To come to our AGM, you're going to need to book yourself a ticket. We have limited capacity. You can do that by jumping online. There'll be an email this week with a link from what's the try booking. Do you know how many different websites there are to book things these days? Try booking, and it's free, yes. So try booking, it's a free ticket. You can come along and hear about our church and what's going on. If you also don't have it, check with Sonia. She will be able to get you a ticket. Sonia the Scalper, that's going to be her new name. Look, we understand there are also some people out there who don't feel safe coming into this building still. There's still that concern of COVID and some questions. But we want to make sure that you get in on the AGM fun as well. So we're going to set up a private Zoom meeting. So you can see what's going on here. You can ask questions and you can hear the latest information. So if you are interested in any of that stuff, and I hope that you are, please contact us as a church. All right. So that's two exciting things. Creche, AGM. And that's not it. There's more to come. We are going to participate in a carols event. Wait a second, Daryl. A carols event? You can't do a carols event. There's COVID restrictions. You can only have one person singing in a church. Well, I'll tell you what. On the 20th of December, we as a church will be joining with Guymere Baps for their church carols event called Carols in Your Backyard. The idea of carols in your backyard is you sit in your backyard, you invite some friends over, you have your, as Mark Rader would say, your cheese and your bickies and your drink, and you sit around together and join in with people across the state singing carols. The idea is if someone was to drive around, that they could hear carols, you know, every so often as people met in different houses. Look, we can't all be together in one place, but we have this opportunity to still sing carols, one of the best bits about Christmas. So for more information about that, it's all going to be on our Facebook page this coming week. Or if you can't find it, shoot me an email and I will hand that information on to you. All right, do you reckon that's it? No, look, one more thing we're going to talk about. Last week, the PST and I talked about how can we do Christmas this year. If we're going to have these restrictions, especially for a Christmas Day service, if we can't sing carols, what are we going to do? So this is what we have decided. We're not going to have a Christmas Day service this year. It's just too much of a logistical nightmare. People will be traveling, hopefully within state or maybe even from out of state. We couldn't satisfactorily meet all the COVID requirements. So what we did is we said, look, we're not going to do a Christmas Day service, but what we're going to do is we're going to do a Christmas Eve family event. So there's going to be more details as we nail and hammer them out, but it's going to look basically like a sausage sizzle in our car park. We're going to have some fun and games for the kids. And do you know what? The best thing about this? Free. Man, it's free. We're going to have an absolute great time. That being said, if our government changes that 4 square meter rule, we're going to have to change as well. So we're putting it to you at this stage, no Christmas Day service, Christmas Eve event, but if things change, we will let you know. So stay tuned. All right, did you get all four of those things? AGM, carols in the backyard, church family barbecue on Christmas Eve, and Brook Kids Creche. For any more of the information on these things, please contact us and let us know what you are interested in. Anyway, let's turn to Haggai. Let's do what we're here to do. Last week, we were talking about Joel, and we were saying how Joel was really hard to place in the timeline. It had very little indicators to help us. So it could have come at the very beginning or towards the end. But let me tell you something, Haggai is the complete and utter opposite. Haggai opens with these words. In the second year of King Darius, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came through to the prophet Haggai, to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Josedek, high priests. Haggai starts with one of the most precise dates in all of the Old Testament. Scholars have done the maths, and they have worked out that on August 29th, 520 BC, Haggai started putting pen to paper. Okay, that's exciting for me. I thought that was really cool. And it goes through until 18th of December. So for about 4 months, Haggai is writing down this prophecy. And it's exciting. It's to the exact point. We don't have to argue about when it happened. We know. August 29th. This is why it's important for us, though. Because we know the date, we know what has happened within history. From this date, we're able to tell that the Babylonians had conquered what was left of the kingdom of Israel. That happened around 605 BC. Now, in most cases, history would say that once a people group is conquered, sent into exile, that becomes the end of them. They adapt to the culture. They change. They lose their ways. It was only really a matter of time before the people would go. But that's not the case in this story. In 539 BC, the Babylonians were conquered themselves by Cyrus, the king in the Persian Empire. In the writings of the prophet Ezra, we see that Cyrus, king of Persia, issued a decree to those people that had been taken by the Babylonians. He said to the Jews and to other people that they could return to their homelands. Not only could they return to their homelands, but they could also start to rebuild the temples to their gods. You can read about Ezra and all of this in 2 Kings. But this isn't our focus for today. With the decree of Cyrus, about 50,000 Jews journeyed home and began working on God's temple. Within 2 years, they had laid and completed the foundation. And there was great rejoicing amongst the land. But their success brought attention. It aroused the nations around them who were worried about what a rebuilt temple would mean politically and religiously for that area. They were worried about a thriving Jewish state. Therefore, they started persecuting the project vigorously. Every time they seemed to build a wall, they would come and knock it down. This continual attack halted work. The temple foundation had been laid, but it hadn't gotten any further. 520 BC. 16 years that temple had had its foundation, but hadn't had any other work done to it. But there's more to the story than just simply oppression. See, the oppression sparked something in the Jews. They became inactive. They became complacent. They weren't really interested in what God wanted. So in comes Haggai. And he tries to wake them up from this tiredness, this inactivity. And when they started to rebuild again, the governors of that Trans-Euphrates area and the other officials tried to interfere with that rebuilding effort. But Darius the Great, king of Persia, fully supported the Jews. And history tells us that in 4 short years, the temple was finished and dedicated. So Haggai is important for us to know, especially today. First off, it shows us one important thing. It shows us that the prophets who had been talking for a long time of how Israel was full of idol worship and oppression of the poor, and that if they didn't repent and turn back to God, that something bad would happen. They would be conquered, that they would be sent off into exile. And that's what happened. They didn't hear, they didn't repent, they stayed how they were, and the Babylonians, they came in, they took them away to exile. But the prophets also had a second part of that prophecy, right? If you keep going down this path, something bad will happen. But if you turn back to God, if you turned back to those things that he holds dear, if you sought after gods, prophets like Jeremiah said there would be hope, that there could be hope, and there could be restoration. So what happened during the exile? The people started turning back to God. I remember in Bible college, one of the lecturers talking about how it seemed that exile was the catalyst for Israel's great revival. The nation turned back to God like never before. This is important for us to know, and the takeaway is the Lord our God is true to his promises. If he's promised something, he will deliver. But there's more to Haggai than that. Haggai has an important message for those Jews who had returned recently from exile. See, they started well. They had built the foundation of the temple. And then a little bump came along and they got off track. And when they got off track, what started to happen? They fell back into those old ways. They were starting to forget their God. They were starting to choose to focus on their own individual tasks. Haggai comes in and says, "Consider your ways." If Israel didn't fix itself, it would be doomed to repeat itself. What's the old saying? Those who don't learn from history are doomed to repeat it. Haggai encourages them, instructs them, put your focus back on God. Let's rebuild his temple. Let's finish his house. So like a good leader, Haggai says this and then disappears for 5 years and comes back and no. Haggai actually does the opposite. Haggai stays with the nation and constantly preaching and encouraging the Jews. Hey, keep going. There is a future hope here. There is a glory that is going to come with this temple. This glory will be a victory over the enemies of God. Haggai sits there preaching to them constantly that they need to have God at the center of their lives. That center of God would give them blessing. He has something in store for them and something for his people. Haggai calls the people to give priority to God and to his house. It's a reminder that God blesses those who seek him and his ways. As we've said constantly, when we've been looking at these minor prophets, we've been asking, how do they relate to our lives today? Well, there's two things that I think come from Haggai for us to work on. The first has to do with our foundation and our building work. See, the Jews who immigrated back from Babylon to their original homeland of Judah, they faced opposition, both externally and internally. Ezra 4, 1 to 5 records the external resistance to the project of rebuilding the temple. Judah's enemies attempted to infiltrate the ranks of the builders. And when that didn't work, they resorted to scare tactics. Haggai focused, though, on the opposite side of the coin, the internal opposition. That internal opposition that they faced, namely their own sin, their choosing their own ways over God. Haggai reminds the people that they had thoughtlessly placed again their own interests before the Lord's interests. They were worried about their own safety and security without considering what God had wanted for them. So Haggai, he puts it back into the focus. He says, look, we've got to pay attention. Look, what does God want from us? And Haggai's encouragement to rebuild the temple in the face of this neglect brings to mind the Apostle Paul's writings to those in Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians 3, 10 to 17, Paul encourages us to build our lives on the foundation of Christ. So that's the first thing we've got to pick up from this. What are we building on? What is our foundation? Where are we at? What's the status of the temple of your heart? The temple of the Holy Spirit, the God dwelling within us. Are we at a foundation? Have we put up the scaffolding? Have we got a wall built? Because that temple we build will leave a legacy that will stand the test of time. In Haggai chapter 2, God gives great encouragement to those who labor under difficult conditions. He does this by reassuring them that the temple is a future glory. It's interesting. Haggai expresses that this temple that they are building, it might seem modest and small compared to what Solomon had built, but this temple would be greater than Solomon's temple. See, Solomon built his temple at the time of Israel's great wealth and power. Here, Haggai and these Jews are building the temple purely during financial hardships and difficult times. The Jews in this community may be greatly reduced. It's reduced because of the effects of the power of world empires. But the Lord shakes up the present order, the present world order, and asserts his claim to these people that this temple that they are building will be without rival, because the hearts of the people are to be sincere, to desperately and meaningfully seek God. The second idea that I think comes from this passage. So the first was about building that spiritual life within you, trusting God and building that temple, building your relationship. The second thing is about valuing our physical church. See, we can't lie. COVID has hit churches around the world, and even here, We've planned to do things as churches, as a church, and we've had to cancel them or adapt them. We live in a time where we can come to church, but we can't sing. And that's hard. But we've taken big hits in things like our programs. Our Brook Kids leaders need more support than ever. We need people willing to welcome others to church. Look, we've had a hit. COVID has become a bit of an obstacle. The number of people who have attended our church over the past few months has declined. Some people have said, hey, look, we're just not ready, and we understand that. But when will you be ready? I was reading a recent study that suggests that maybe up to 50% of adults who attended church before regularly, before COVID, they regularly attended church, are unlikely to return anytime soon. Christianity Today published an article that talked about the impact of people choosing not to come to church. This quote is from that article. People who don't have some kind of spiritual community are unlikely to maintain any kind of active spiritual practice. Man, we understand life, we understand work, and we understand, you know, this COVID time. But if we start to disengage with the church, then chances are we're going to end up walking away completely. And much like the nation of Israel, we can get easily off topic, and we can start focusing on ourselves rather than the church. And we can start focusing on ourselves rather than God. And as we said, man, we understand people have real concerns about attending at this time. But we do everything that we possibly can to make sure Brookside is safe for all people. We understand that life has dramatically changed. More people working from home, less traditional work hours for some people. And that's why we try and accommodate different needs for different people. In person, live stream, written copies. And we get challenged. I never thought I'd have to say that a church AGM is going to have to be a ticketing system. I've always wanted to, you know, feel like I'm popular and people want to come and see me and they need a ticket, but we need a ticketing system. And we're going to have part of it on Zoom for those who can't make it. But the question remains is, are we going to use COVID as an easy out, as a chance of saying, you know what, I'm stepping back, hands off, you're all on your own? See, as I was reading Haggai, I was reminded that we needed to put effort into our faith community. We need to do the work that benefits not just me, not just you, but all of us. And the challenge comes at times like this for us to say, no matter what, I am committed to God. No matter what, my relationship with Him matters. No matter what, my relationship and the community with my brothers and sisters in faith matters. It's a hard thing to hear, but it's a question worth asking. Am I disengaging? Have I neglected God? Where is He in my life? There is one more exciting thing that I need to tell you about Haggai as we finished. Haggai is a great book. See, as Haggai preaches, something remarkable happens. It's unlike any of the other prophets. The people of Judah listened. They were challenged. Here's where you're falling short. God wants that relationship. God wants you to focus on rebuilding the temple. It was passionate. It was simple. It was straightforward. And the people started to listen. And the temple was built in 4 years. As one writer puts it, no one could mistake whether or not his direction had been followed. The result would be evident for all people to see. Through the physical act of rebuilding the temple, the people began to indicate a shift in their spiritual lives. From a devotion to self towards a devotion to God. And that's our challenge, to lose more of ourselves and to become more devoted to God. It's a challenge for all of us. It's a challenge no matter what day and year we find ourselves in. Pre-COVID, COVID, post-COVID. The challenge is, where do we devote ourselves? Let us pray. Father, as we have wrestled with the message of Haggai, as we have heard a prophet where we know the exact date, and Lord, that the people listened, we pray that you too would help us to listen. Help us to attune ourselves to what you want, not just for us individually, but for us as a church. Father, we pray for your wisdom and for your guidance. We thank you for what your son did on that cross. Lord, that we can have a relationship with you, that we don't need someone beyond Christ to mediate for us. Lord, we ask, send us your Spirit, tell us your ways, and let us act them out. Father, it is a challenge, for it is scary, but we pray, Lord, help us to be more and more devoted to you. Amen. Well, bless you guys. Thank you for joining with us. Until next time, God bless.